Welcome to Jump by Design. I'm David Pachter. We're a show about accelerating achievement for leaders looking to excel through the struggle. As we know, learning and growth come outside of the comfort zone and more frequently when you're still in the fight. Okay. Welcome back to Jump by Design. I'm David Pachter, and today we are exploring the connection between wellness and achievement. Jump by Design is all about accelerating achievement, and it's a really hard thing to do if you're not in good health. I'm excited to be speaking with Dr. Belisa Vranish today. She is the Director of Breathing Science at the Ash Center for Comprehensive Medicine in New York City and the author of Breathe, a simple 14-step program to improve your mental and physical health. Belisa has a doctorate in psychology from NYU, and as a clinical psychologist, she has specialized in a broad range of disciplines in and around health and fitness. Over the last few years, she's become one of the leading experts on the physical and psychological problems related to oxygenation deficiency in the body. Welcome, Belisa. Thank you for being with us. I can't wait to talk to you a little bit more about all the things that you've been working on recently.
Yeah, thank you, David. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for that great intro. I hope I can live up to it.
I'm sure you can, because I've known you for a long time, and I've known you long enough, Belisa, to want to share a little bit of how you got to here with our audience. Can, you know, before we dive in to what you're doing today, can you talk a little bit about how you got to where we're at?
Sure. Well, my background is in clinical psychology. So I'm a Tar Heel. I went to school in the South and NYU for graduate school. And then I worked in a lot of public clinics and hospitals around the New York area. Ended up doing at the Mental Health Association, doing public education, and then started writing for different magazines. I actually got asked to write a dream analysis column for a magazine called Jane, and that was sort of the first time I started going into media and anything having to do with magazines and television and things like that.
So really that first jump, Belisa, was really from just practicing clinical psychology to being out front in the media and writing about
yeah.
it for a broader audience, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it was a strange jump because I was going from sort of working in the trenches in public hospitals, you know, whether it was Bellevue Hospital, which is, you know, notorious around the world for being, you know, having one of the largest sort of most animated psychiatric wards, to, you know, working with patients one-on-one in my own practice. So this was the first time I was actually sort of peeking into the world of magazines and television and things like that. I didn't go looking for it. It came and found me. And yeah, that's how I started writing this dream analysis column, which I took very, very seriously.
Wow. And did dream analysis lead you closer to breathing?
Not yet. It took a little while longer, even though, you know, when somebody says, you know, how did you get to breathing, or did it take you closer to the breathing? I still giggle because it sounds so silly. the whole idea of, you know, being a breathing expert and, you know, asking people, how do you breathe? How do you feel about your breathing? So I completely understand, you know, if you're listening to this and sort of smiling and thinking, wow, this is a bizarre topic to have specialized in. But, anyway, from the dream analysis column, I started working as the sex and health editor at Men's Fitness magazine.
Big job.
And that was even more interesting because it went from dream analysis to talking to people about their sexuality and their health around their sexuality, which was, I had a blast because all of a sudden it was not as depressing as some of the work. I mean, not that the work wasn't fulfilling, but it could be very depressing being in a public clinic. So this was kind of the opposite spectrum. I could be sarcastic, I could be funny, I could be completely inappropriate, but it was still okay for the magazine world. And I'm still not really reaching into the breathing world. However, when I was talking about sexuality, every once in a while, tantra would come up. And there's always the connection of the breath and tantra. So that might have been a little bit of it. Actually, I need to step back a second because between, I'm sorry, but when I was in high school, I ran cross country and track. So what was your sport, David?
Basketball.
Yours was basketball? Okay. It's always important, you know, to ask people about their sport growing up, because it really forms you, whether you did well or not so well, or loved it or ended up hating it. But obviously, when you run, your breath is something that's very obvious to you the whole time, and sometimes other people as well. And we had a coach who was really assertive about training us and training us well. We won the states 4 years in a row, but he actually even had sort of high altitude tanks for us to wear, if you can imagine. And they were the real deal. They weren't like the training mask. They actually were these tanks that we would wear on us. And you have to remember that if you're running track and cross country three seasons a year throughout the summer and 4 years in a row, and you're in high school, I was maybe 90 pounds. And wow, this oxygen tank that we would carry, this tank
weighs 90 pounds.
Weighs about 90 pounds. That was about 40, but it was still, it was just incredibly heavy given our size. But you know, it, just the idea of this tank and breathing and getting your breathing to be better. Fast forward 10 years later, so it
was on your radar, you know, for your whole life, basically, right?
You know, when I started looking back, the breathing actually popped up in several ways in a really strong way. And the next time it sort of popped up was that I was working for Jacques Cousteau in my gap year. And it wasn't that I was knew enough about what he had done in the world yet to appreciate him as much as I certainly do now. But I ended up in his office just because I was a French major. And then having seen his films and having to really understand more about him, his family, his legacy, it was fantastic. But again, you're talking about someone who was pivotal as far as diving and the apparatus.
Sure, breathing apparatus. Yeah. But you started, you really started your formative years in an individual sport around cross country, and you dedicated the overwhelming component of your life to helping other people coming out of an individual sport. Is interesting to me. When you were doing all this, did you have goals in mind at every step of the way? Because you've taken some.
No, I mean, that's probably not the most popular answer, but
it sounds like the true one.
But it is the true one, is that I've always worked really hard at what I was doing and then was really eager to learn something else. So I saw every single job opportunity as a way to be able to learn something that I knew very little about or nothing about, which, you know, infuriated when I was younger, really infuriated my parents, because I would never stay at something for more than 2 years, which is actually, for your average millennial right now, a long time, because your average millennial still stays at a job supposedly 18 months.
Not a bad amount of time to have on the resume, 2 years these days, but hopefully
2 years, you know, is fine.
Hopefully everyone's shooting for more than 2 years.
What we are doing here at Jump by Design is sharing real life experiences that provide you with ideas and tips on how to accelerate your success and achieve your goals. Like our sponsor, The Jump Crew, we're in constant pursuit of being our best self and driving the best result. Jump Crew helps their clients achieve business success with proven marketing and sales execution, combined with a passionate team of achievers. If you are recently funded or have a mature business that needs revenue growth, I recommend you speak with them. Jump Crew can transform your business with integrated demand generation and sales support, accelerate your growth, and take the risk out of doing it yourself.
Now, what the other part of this that's neat, Belisa, is like beyond the media and beyond the private classes and the TED Talks, is that you're still very actively engaged in contributing on a community level. I know you were recently down in Nashville, where the Jump Crew headquarters is, and you were over at the VA hospital. Can you tell us a little bit about what you were doing down there?
Oh, sure. Part of my mission really is to be able to do volunteer work and pro bono work and give back as often as I can, every day in some way, if I can. That's absolutely part of my mission. organization and in the way I live. So I was down at the VA and we were training clinicians at the VA to be able to teach breath work and the right, the biomechanics of a breath that calms to vets in the VA. And before that, we'd actually been at a fire department convention where we were working with fire departments from across the United States, again, in teaching resilience through breath work and, you know, calming strategies, how to deal with stress through breath work. And before that was possibly one of the most interesting ones, which was at a jail. We were working with lifers at a jail in Los Angeles. And obviously that was not paid, but it was incredibly, you know, it was a wonderful experience, and I will definitely do it again, if not several times a year. But yeah, exactly. Is it giving back to the community and being able to do pro bono work is really important. Not just for me, I really encourage everyone to do it. Not wait till you retire or not wait till Thanksgiving to work in a soup kitchen. Sure. It's just really easy to do something every day or at least once a week and make a really big impact.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. When you think about that level of satisfaction, you think about accelerating achievement, whether it's your own achievement or on behalf of helping raise other people to a different level. For me, it's about me being healthy. I know I can't help someone else if I'm not on my game. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most interesting things to me about trying to bring some of your methodology, some of your process to our audience that's very focused around achievement. So I was hoping you could introduce a little bit about the stuff you're working on now, how you would approach breathing in the context of a professional environment.
Sure.
And explain to everyone maybe a couple of things that they could be doing on their own as well.
Sure. Well, stress, the way we're experiencing it nowadays, gets in the way of creativity. So it's interesting. I see a lot of folks in more corporate environments than jails or firehouses are dealing with stress that it is such a level that it's getting in the way of their problem solving, being creative, and thinking outside the box. So think about it. When you get stressed out, you tighten up. And in order to be able to tap into your intuition, you actually have to be relaxed and listening and feel like expansive is the word that I use.
Sure.
So part of being stressed, and when we think about stress, is that stress can motivate you. Stress can be a positive thing. But most of us live with some of that stress, but I'd say the majority of our stress is fear-driven, where we either are scared that we're not going to, and scared may be a harsh word, but we're really pressured in trying to finish something. And we're pressured in a way where it gets in the way of our thinking in a flexible way.
So if I have 5 minutes before my meeting, is that enough time for me to get in a zone?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you mentioned the zone, because getting in the zone, or I work with a lot of golfers. So, getting that tempo right, that rhythm right, that zone kind of feeling, you could have 120 seconds, 2 minutes, and teach yourself to get into the zone in that amount of time. Like when you start, it might be longer. But if you practice it just like you practice any sport, you can get yourself to get into the zone faster and faster. And all you need is 2 minutes.
Okay. When I first started practicing sitting still, I wasn't so good at it. I could sit still for like 2 minutes. Uh-huh. Here, I'm going to start my breathing practice. What do I need to do?
Okay. Well, the first thing you need to do is stop breathing in a way that's stressed out. Stop breathing in a way where your body is hearing that you want to have a higher heart rate, blood pressure, and cortisol. Because most of us are breathing up and down with our shoulders, and that is automatically, physiologically going to make you more stressed out. So no matter what lovely mantras you have and affirmations you have, they're really not going to be well integrated into your body if neurologically you're telling your body, I am stressed out and I want you to stay this way, possibly into the evening when I'm trying to sleep. So the first thing you have to do is breathe in a way that's biomechanically sound, that's anatomically congruous. So breathing with the muscles that you were meant to be breathing with. Most of us right now are breathing with auxiliary muscles. So we're not breathing with our primary breathing muscles anymore. We've taken this like beautiful setup that is our body and completely mauled the whole system of respiration, and are now using just our neck and shoulder muscles, which were never meant to be primary breathing muscles.
When you say mauled, kind of doing, I'm doing it in reverse. I'm using my chest. I'm using my neck. I actually, exactly. In thinking about this practice, I just pushed a chair out of the way. I'm standing up, so I can find my natural posture. Is that okay?
No, because your natural posture nowadays is sitting. So sit back down again.
Yeah, I'm pulling the chair back up.
Exactly. Is that natural posture for us? You know, not necessarily two generations ago, but we sit 13 to 16 hours a day. So go back to the posture that you spend most time in and learn how to breathe in that posture. Standing is actually the hardest.
Well, is that a big vote for the stand-up desk? Because we have a couple of our folks on those right now, and I'm thinking that could be next for me.
I do like the stand-up desks, but the most important thing, whether you sit or you stand, is that you move.
Thanks for listening in. I hope you enjoyed the episode and tune in next time for more Jump by Design. We love feedback at Jump by Design. Come to the website, jumpbydesign.com, or get me on Twitter @DavidPachter. Thanks for tuning in.